In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is based upon verse 5 of what has just been read. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, this one bears much fruit. Because without me, you are not able to do nothing. Now, the text that we have before us presents us with a great opportunity to confuse law and gospel. Me? Confuse law and gospel? I've been through the seminary for 4 years, maybe five. Not only that, some of us even have STM degrees. And you could tack on a couple more years to those many years of studying of theology. And would I take this opportunity to confuse law and gospel? Well, of course. Of course we're going to confuse law and gospel. How dare you and I ever think that we're going to march out into the parish and never confuse law and gospel? After all, it is so tempting for us to do so. The law is written in our hearts. And the most natural response is to want to whip someone into shape. Many times it will be so easy to look at this text and say, ah, now here's my chance to make this congregation do what I want it to do. Here's my chance to raise that money that we need so desperately, of course, to do God's work. Here's my chance to make sure they produce fruits. Because after all, if you're a Christian, you better be producing fruits. And I can't see them. We have a wonderful opportunity to confuse law and gospel here. But when we do these things, we must remember that we too, as sinful people, need the grace of God. Because when we do confuse our law and gospel, we need to be willing to look at God straight in the eyes and repent of our own sins. Yes, even as shepherds of a congregation. Even as a pastor, someone who is called into the holy office of the ministry, daily we will need to repent and confess our sins and feed off the gospel of Jesus Christ. Feed off of the very forgiveness that is the heart of this passage. Because when we look at this passage and we only see that chance to whip some congregation into shape, we're missing the real point. The real point that we, as the branches, do not produce fruit without the vine. And who is that vine? It is Jesus Christ. It is the mystery of the incarnation. It is the mystery of the fact that God himself suffered and died for our sins, that God himself took on my arrogance, took on my foolishness, took on all those times that I have confused law and gospel. That I am going to confuse law and gospel. It's so tempting to fall into this trap, and what a great opportunity to get back into Walther on a day like today. And listen to a few quotes from Walther about this temptation of wanting to use the law to try to make our congregations produce fruits. How foolish, then, is a preacher who thinks that conditions in his congregation will improve if he thunders at his people with a law and paints hell and damnation for them. Again, if anyone is prompted by the law to do certain good works, he does them only because he is coerced, even as the Israelites had to be coerced by the covenant of the law. Remember what the apostle is saying in the text, that is Galatians 3:2. If you want to revive your future congregations and cause the spirit of peace, joy, faith, and confidence, the childlike spirit, the spirit of soul rest, take up his abode among the members of your congregation, you must, for God's sake, not employ the law to bring that about. If you find your congregations in the worst condition imaginable, you must indeed preach the law to them. But follow it up immediately with the gospel. You may not present the law to them today and postpone preaching the gospel to them till a later time. As soon as the law has done its work, the gospel must take its place. You see, by means of the law, we cannot raise anything better than miserable hypocrites. Now, the preacher may come to the conclusion that he has preached too much gospel to them and must adopt a different policy. He must hush the gospel for a while and preach nothing but the law, and conditions will improve. But he is mistaken. The people do not change, except that they become very angry with their minister for not permitting them to do what they very much like to do. A collection is taken up which nets 20 cents when he had expected $20. He resolves to give these people hell and damnation next Sunday. It is possible he may increase the collection by a few dollars, but the offering is worthless in the sight of God because it was made under coercion. The reason why congregations are corrupt is invariably this, that its ministers have not sufficiently preached the gospel to the people. It is so easy for us to want to hammer that law, to want to go after it and make them change by the law. But we forget the very first part of Walther's book, where he explains to us the difference between law and gospel. And I know many of us are sitting here thinking, 4 years of this stuff, why go through it again? Gentlemen, we need to go through it every day, because we will forget it every day. We will forget the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will forget that the forgiveness of sins carries with it the power to create the new being. So often we'll want to take that gospel and say, well, I'm going to use gospel motivation so they'll hurry up and do good works. But whenever we set out to preach the gospel in order to make someone to do good works, we've confused law and gospel. It is not our job to change people. As a pastor of a congregation, we're not out to make the congregation do something. We're out for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's present the sweet message of the forgiveness of sins. Certainly we must preach the law, but not necessarily the law in simple do's and don'ts so that our congregation will act properly. But those do's and don'ts must be understood as sins that will send people to hell. The same kind of sin that's going to send you and me to hell as we confuse law and gospel, as we try to manipulate people. The only thing we deserve for such intentions is to be damned with the rest of the unrepentant. But praise be to God, we too must also preach the forgiveness to ourselves. The grace of Jesus Christ is ours. We as pastors have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We as pastors must also turn to Jesus Christ, because it was Jesus Christ who suffered in my place. It was Jesus Christ who preaches the law and the gospel perfectly in my place, because I will not always be able to do it. I am not able always to do it. The forgiveness of sins is ours, and we must take that forgiveness. We must look at our baptisms and renew our hope daily. We must be able to confess our sins and then turn to the congregation and then employ the same forgiveness and hope and peace that you and I will so desperately need. Because after the first year, when we come down off our high of finally making it into the holy office of the ministry, we'll soon realize we're just not as holy as we thought we were. After 4 years, we're convinced, now it's my turn to walk across the lake out here. But after a year in the congregation, we soon will realize that if it was up to my pompous and arrogance and what I know about orthodoxy, I soon will sink. And I will stand there, I'll be sinking there and wallowing in the water just as Peter did. And his only hope was to look to Jesus Christ. And it was Christ himself who held out his hand. We too must realize our only hope is in Jesus Christ, who is constantly giving us his hand of hope and salvation and forgiveness, day in and day out. Now when I read the text, verse 5, I purposely threw a double negative at you. Certainly not in honor of Dr. Klug, no offense about that, but the double negative is clear there in the Greek. But in the Greek, a double negative doesn't work the way we work in English. For us, they would have canceled each other out, and then we would conclude that, well, I can do something without Christ. And that's not what it's saying. It's quite emphatic that there is no absolute way that we can do anything apart from Jesus Christ. As we go into our congregations and we go out to present the sweet message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must always have before our eyes this passage to remind us that we can do nothing without Jesus Christ. And it is only by His grace that we've made it this far. And it certainly is only by His grace that we will continue until that blessed day when we too shall meet our Maker and will leave the church militant and become part of the church triumphant. And then, and only then, will we always be able to perfectly distinguish between law and gospel. But to that point, our only hope is in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that He earned for us. Amen.